Thank you, Sister Barbara. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Is there a word or anything else in anyone's heart before we go any further? If not, I will invite you to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read all 21 verses of Scripture today. We're going to take our text from the 15th verse. The title of the message is Family. Family. This is a subject that's very dear to me. But what I want to impress upon everyone that's here today is that God created family. Did you know that? And what I'm going to point out is in the very beginning, God created family in the beginning of the Old Testament. God also created family in the New Testament. And we're going to show you that in just a little while. But before we do, let's read from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 21 for our reading lesson. And the subject will be family. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when we read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Thank you, Brother James. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been made, or hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I told you that my subject today is family. In that 15th verse, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Prior to Paul making that statement, look at what he said. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then in verse 16, he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, and to know the love of Christ, who passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Today, that should be my heart's desire, that every one of us at Faith Missionary Baptist Church could get a clear vision of why and how God created family in the very beginning with Jesus Christ in mind, even before he created the world and everything that we see. He uses the terminology, Father. We know who our Father is, and we know who his Son is, Jesus Christ. But today, I want all of us to understand why and how God created us, the family that we have down here on earth, and how important it is that we hold on to the teachings of family in our churches, in our home, and in our society. Now, we said he made some premier choices when he made family. God did. His premier choices. And the first one is, as we said a moment ago, in the beginning of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 18 and 25. I want you to also notice something else, and it's kind of ironic that it's this way. But in the Old Testament, we find it in the second chapter of Genesis, verses 18 through 25, God gives us how that he created a family to dwell on the face of the earth with the purpose of bringing Jesus Christ in it in the New Testament. And you're going to find in Matthew chapter 1, also in verses 18 through 25, you're going to find where Jesus, in the beginning of the New Testament, is pointed out as God creating the family and how he uses the family unit to display his awesome power, and most of all, that he would save the world from their sins. Now, before we do that, let's look at the first family that he created and placed on the face of the earth. And then we're going to share some thoughts that God pressed upon me. If there's anybody that loves family, I love family. I love our family. And when I say our family, I'm talking not just about the 19 in our family. I'm talking about our family. I'm talking about every person that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about everyone that's ever been born into the world. I'm thankful for the family that God has created. In verse 18, look into what it says. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. So why did he create family? So man wouldn't be alone. There's a lot of people that say, just leave me alone. I want to be left alone. I don't believe that. It's against the nature that God created. God wants us to have communion and relationship and fellowship with one another. But there's a problem. We know what that problem is. It came on the scene in the third chapter. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Because you see, let's read on and then I'll get into that. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl, and to the air, and to the beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here we find in the Old Testament how that God created the first family and put them on the face of the earth. And despite what the world may teach, what the education system might teach, what people of philosophical inventions and psychology and all these other things, I firmly believe that this is exactly how God created family and placed it on the earth. He made a man, He made a woman, and He said to go and give to the whole world families. That's how He did it.
Amen.
Now we're going to see that right after that, sin came into the world, didn't it? Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and say this, because I'm going to get into it in just a moment. But you know what? Satan has a primary target. And that, the primary target is to destroy the family. Beware of them, and I'm going to share those in just a little while. From the very beginning, Satan saw that God created this man and this woman, and he has set out to destroy it. Trying to destroy the family unit, the churches, and everything that goes with it. He's still trying to do that even today. We at Faith Church, before I get done today, I'm going to identify three targets that He has utilized from the very beginning of time when He created family, and He's still trying to use the same three tactics today. Before we do that, let's fast forward. After all the sin that came into the world, and how Satan, the very first thing he wanted to do was destroy the family unit, and so he beguiled Eve, and Eve took the fruit, gave it to Adam, and they both ate, their eyes were opened up, and then they understood they were naked and ashamed. Now, let's fast forward to the New Testament. Because in the beginning of the New Testament, this is verse 18 again. Look at what it says. Matthew chapter 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before that they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. It isn't just amazing to me that in the very beginning God chose family replenish and to popularize and to put people all over the world. That's how He chose it. And then in the New Testament, He chooses a little family. He chooses Joseph and Mary to bring His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world. And listen to how He does it. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her of a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was all done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth the son, or a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him as a wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Verses 18 through 25 in Matthew chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, we see how that God, His premier choices in bringing the family unit into the world. Now, as I said, Satan's primary targets to destroy the family. I want all of us to be aware of them. Number one. This is number one. You know what he did? He used the sin of jealousy to destroy the very first family. Did you know that? He took Cain and he took Abel that were born to the man and the woman. He put them in the garden, and it says that Cain slew Abel. Why? Jealousy. That's what Satan still will use in every family today as a target to destroy the family, to destroy the church, to destroy society. He still uses the tactic of jealousy. Number two, you know what else he uses? This is very popular in this day and age, and especially in the season that we're in. That is the sin of covetousness. We ought, what do we want to do? We want to keep up with the Joneses. Not only do we want to do that, but even if it destroys the family, people will do everything they can to get that toy from their family, even pick a fight. Isn't that what goes on in society today? It's been going on from the very beginning. This family did it against that family. The Hatfields, the McCoys, all these things that are going on around about us. Satan is behind every one of them, and he uses the sin of covetousness to destroy the family unit. Number three, the sin of strife. It's these three basic targets that Satan utilizes. When sin came into the world, he started at the very beginning to put it in Cain's heart, to put it in man's heart, and to put it in my heart, and to put it in your heart. He wants a broken society. And one way that he does that is he stirs up strife among brothers, among sisters, among families, among churches, among anyone that he can. And do you think he's trying to do that even today? He's trying to do it in our service right now. He is the sin of strife. You know what the sin of strife is? It's the opposite of a healthy, peaceful relationship. You say, but Brother Spurgeon, are there examples in the Bible where that this was utilized? Let me give you two names of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau, Satan took of the sin of strife. He put it in their midst. Out there in the family, Jacob, his mother, they even lied to Israel. They lied and they done all these things over the time to do everything they could to stir up strife within the family. And Satan did just that, to the point where Jacob and Esau, they hated one another. But eventually, they came together. Now, I don't want us to focus on these three sins. I want you to be aware of them. I want us to be aware of them. For you see, today our subject is family. God created the family unit for a purpose. And He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to bless every family on the face of the earth. Now, I am not naive enough to believe that there are people that have had family issues, and there's probably people sitting in the pews today that have family issues that Satan has taken right now every word I've said to you and say, well, Brother Spurgeon, in my family, we've had just these three things to destroy our family. And I don't have a family. I got good news for you today. You still have a family. You still have a family. And I don't want Satan to twist anything I'm about to say today, but I'm going to give you seven shields of defense for the families. And for you to utilize, even against Satan today, if you feel like you're a person that's sitting here today and doesn't have a family, I want you to know that you have a family. And I want, first of all, to let you know that the family shield of defense, the first defense shield that you need to familiarize yourself with is a son. Not just any ordinary son. He's the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, if you belong to His family, did you listen to the reading that Paul said about Gentiles? Oh, go back and study that third chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'd like to spend all day just discussing that and to present that in more detail. But if you go back and read it, Paul is telling us Gentiles, that's you and me, that we're adopted into a family. And the reason we're adopted into that family is because Jesus Christ, God created a family, a little family, and put them in the Bethlehem of Judea. And when He put that little family in Bethlehem of Judea, He allowed every person to have a brother, have a mother, to have a father, and to have children. And you may not have any children on the earth, but I want you to know that you, if you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have the first shield of defense against Satan, who is just trying to destroy your family. And number two, the one thing that every family needs in their home as a shield is this right here. It's called the family Bible. There's a song that I've heard over the years, maybe you've heard it, but it talks about not letting get any dust on the Bible. But it also talks about a mother that loved her children so much that they would sit around the table and Dad would open up the Bible and read the family Bible. You say to Brother Spurgeon, I don't have a family. Well, if you've got Jesus Christ, you've got a family. And you can sit down with just you and Jesus. Or you can invite me or somebody else to come and sit around the table and read the family Bible. If you want a shield against Satan, don't let your family Bible get dust on it, but get it up and open it up and read it. Number three, family prayer. If you want a shield against your family being broken up, what you need to do is have family prayer every day. You need to just sit down or kneel down. And today, we've been blessed that God has allowed us to have four different families in our family. But you know what? They're all gone and we can't bow down with them every day. But I'll tell you what Rhonda and I do. We have our little family prayer, just me and her. And you say, but I don't have anybody to pray with. And just think about who you're praying to. You're praying to your father. What a family.
Amen.
You see, if it's just you and Dad, if it's just you and the Father and the Son, you've got a family. Have that family prayer. You say, but Brother Spurgeon, my family's broken up. What do I need to do? Have family prayer. Have a little prayer with Jesus. And have a little talk with Jesus. And do that every day. Number four. And I don't want you to be misunderstood. But I believe that there are families that have some good family traditions. And family traditions are good if and when they are in line with godly principles. Family traditions can be taken off this way, to the left, and to the right. But you know what? A family that has good godly principle family traditions, hang on to them. It's a shield against Satan. One of the family traditions it should be is go to church.
Amen.
Make that a family tradition. You say, well, they won't go to church with me anymore. They can't go to church with me anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, you ought to tell them how good a time you're having at church. A lot of people don't want to go to church because they know that there's families there that are broken up, or one family running the church, or one family doing this, and they say, well, I can do that at home. I'll tell you, something's going on in church. You ought to keep it in church. Don't go out gossiping to everybody. I'll tell you, we're having good things happening here at this church. He says, Brother Spurgeon, what good things are we having happen here? We haven't seen people saved. We haven't seen people join the church. I'll tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord's been here and that's good enough for me. I'll let Him take care of the rest. I'll tell you, when he doesn't meet with us, then we got problems. That's what Paul was trying to tell us. He was trying to tell us in that letter in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Go back and read it. Read it a little bit carefully. Oh, he wants to do exceeding abundantly more than you would ever think for. A lot of times, we're the reason that it's not happening. Faith Missionary Baptist Church. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The reason they named this church Faith is because they had faith that the Lord would bless. And He has been and He will. Just keep holding on. Family traditions. Number five, we're going to get a little bit more in depth now. But if you want to shield against Satan and his destruction and him trying to destroy the church and destroy our family with jealousy, covetousness, and strife, the one thing that you've got to be ready to do is this. Family reconciliation. Oh, number five, family reconciliation. What do you mean, Brother Spurgeon? Forgiveness. Be ready to forgive. I mean immediately. And don't ever, ever, ever let the words, "I'm sorry," stay in your mind and in your heart. Let them roll off the tongue. Family reconciliation with each other. I'll tell you, a church that is quick to reconcile and seek forgiveness to one another, and a family that does that, that's a strong family that Satan and all of his demons can't penetrate. He hates it when people get lovey-dovey and say, "I'm sorry," and really mean it. Number six. There are family ties that bind. You know what that shield is? It's called unconditional love. You say, "Brother Spurgeon, I haven't felt love for my family in a long time. My heart goes out to you." But I want you to know, if you hadn't heard it today, I'm going to say it right now. I love every person in this building. I love you. You said, "Well, nobody tells me that." You just keep coming back every service, and I'll try my best to show it. I'll try my best to tell it. And you ought to do the same. In your families and in your church. "But he did this and he done that. She said this and she said that." Reconcile, get it over with, and love unconditionally. You know why? Because I may be the one that might make you mad next. And if I do, come to me quick. If you make me mad, I'm going to try to come to you quick. Why? Because Satan will take that and he'll fester it and he'll make... Have you ever heard the expression, "He'll make a mountain out of a molehill"? We got so many molehills in the churches and families that he is just making mountains out of because we're human beings. We should show unconditional love. You know why? Because there was someone that showed unconditional love to you and me.
Amen.
And He created the family. And He put God in it. Number seven. I'm not going to be too long-winded today. I didn't know how long it'd take me. It might take me a few minutes to get this out. But number seven is this. If you're here today and you say, "Well, I don't have any family." You belong to the family of God. You've got the best family that's ever been. Did you hear our text today? Let me go back and read that text to you. Maybe I just didn't spend enough time with it. You know what it says there? Underline that. Verse 15, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." It don't get no bigger than that. You say, "Well, I come from a small family. I just one daughter to a man and woman." No! You're looking too short-sighted. You live in God's family. He's the father of the whole family of heaven and the whole family of earth whom you are named. Don't you ever feel sorry for being in a small family, and don't feel sorry for being in a big family. My mom was born to one of 16 siblings. You might say, well, that sounds great. You ought to just seen some of the family squabbles over the years. They're really great. And they're big. And some of them have let themselves go to the grave without reconciliation. You belong to the biggest family there's ever been if you're in the family of God. So salvation is most important. Because for you to fully understand or even have an inclination of what the family that God created is all about in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you've got to have salvation in your heart. There's a lot of people that have families that don't have it. And they're struggling. There's a lot of families that do have it and are struggling. There's individuals that are struggling today. And they're saying, I hear what you say, Brother Spurgeon. But what this got to do with me? Well, if you're in the family of God, He will be our family in all circumstances. Did you know that? What's that mean? It means when things are going really, 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 really good, God won't forsake you. When things are going really, really, really bad, God will not forsake you. He's your Father in all circumstances. Now, if He sets forth the pattern of what family ought to be, shouldn't we strive to contend for that? In concluding today, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 3. And I want you to see a statement that this little baby Jesus made when He got old. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And this is what we'll close with today. I hope you'll get this picture that here Jesus was inside this building. And it says, there came then His brethren and His mother, and standing without, sent unto Him, calling Him. They was outside the place where He was at. He's inside. Mary sends a messenger in and says, tell Jesus we want to talk to Him. The multitude said about Him, and they said unto Him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. Listen really close to His reply. And He answered them, saying, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? He looked around about them which said to Him and said, and I want you to do the same. Never forget your mama, never forget your daddy, but just look around in this church right now. Just do like Jesus did that day. He looked around at everybody that was in there and He asked the question, who's my brother? Who's my mother? I think He made it real clear who His Father is, and you have too. Listen to what else He said. He said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So I ask you a final question. Are you in the will of God? Are you where you need to be? Have you made reconciliation with some of those things that we've talked about, or are you just letting them fester? Is there things in the church, is there things in the family you say, but I've tried and just, there's no reconciliation that's going to take place? Give it to God. Are you in the will of God? What's Jesus saying here? This is what He's saying. He's saying our relationship, our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ is going to carry us through. No matter what. Whether you've got a big family, whether it's just you, whether you've got a large family, whether you've got a small family, I want you to understand one thing, and one thing very clearly. That our Father, He's the Father of the whole family in heaven and in earth. And He takes special attention to ensure. And He's made provisions knowing that Satan was going to do all these things that I told you He's going to do that we need to be aware of and shield against. Those things that He has done over the years. Things that have robbed you of a lot of joy. I pray that God will restore that joy. And He will. If you'll just put your faith and trust in Him and in His will. And stay in the center of His will. That's what the Lord sent for me to convey to us today. I love you. I hope you love me. I love my brothers and my sisters. I love all of you that come. And I hope you feel that love. And if you don't, let me know about it. Let me know about it. Because I want you to understand that that love comes from a greater being than me. That comes from our Father. And He wants. Eventually, He's going to bring an end to all of this. And when He does, be ready. Because we're going to where the family of God is going to be forever and ever. And then we'll not just talk about it. We'll be able to be in the very presence of God. What a day that will be when His face we finally see. Are you holding to that unseen hand today? I'll tell you, there's a day coming where there'll be glad hosannas. Deliverance shall come. These songs have been so good. And just think, that beautiful star of Bethlehem. He's the star of it all. He's the premier of it all. God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He brings it all together into what we call the family. Thank you for listening to us today. Do we have a song we want to sing? Anything on anyone's heart? The altar's always open. You have to make peace with your God, your Father in heaven, seek Him and take Him. It's very important that you do.
giving, especially in this time of year. I know it's going to be a little hard for some, but you do. And I know the Lord's going to bless you for that as far as the air conditioning is concerned and all these other things. I'll make this announcement. Some of you may have been not heard from Wednesday night, but Fairview Memorial elected Brother Billy Moran as their pastor. He has accepted, so get your stuff with me. You pray for me, and let's pray for them. Pray for Brother Maria. Pray for all of our sister churches, and thank you for your prayers and all your support. So I know we've got quite a bit to do this afternoon. We need to get some rest before you come back. Let's do that. Remember, tonight at 5:30, if at all possible, come back and bring somebody with you. And we try and help you pray to honor the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, for giving His Son, so that we, so we'll know exactly what the Christmas is all about. All hearts and minds, liberty. I'm sorry. Back at 4:30, yes. We'll play back at 4:30. Thank you. Any other announcements?
All hearts and minds of liberty.
Let's pray for each other. And God bless you. I'll pray. Brother Sonny, would you feel to pray the benediction for us, please?
Yes. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the great message we heard today. And blessed be God for that message. Blessed be your colleagues, share with members of this church. Help me and help others, all of us, to love one another.
And praise the Lord.
And try to work together with one another. Feeling Heavenly Father, more grace and more humility. Bless Heavenly Father, our compassion. Bless Heavenly Father, those who are lost and connected with this church, that they will come to church and just believe in Heavenly Father. Would us not be able to stay that day for the new blessings in your great love to give us our memory and sin. This is what we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes.
I've got one of them. I've got one of them.